My talk is going to focus on onion maggot control. The concept and the approach we took for this project is likely applicable for fly management and a lot of other agricultural systems. Okay. Onion maggot, Delia antiqua, is a major pest of allium species, especially onion, throughout the northern temperate regions of the world. And in New York, there are three generations every year. Now, the first generation is by far the worst of the three, because damage by first generation larvae will kill the onion plants. Okay. Now, growers will use an insecticide at planting to manage first generation onion maggots, and if you get good control, you really have low risk for second and third generation maggot damage. However, there's widespread resistance to one of the two most commonly used products for onion maggot control, and in these fields you can have higher populations and therefore you have more of a risk of having bulbs damaged by third generation larvae. Okay. Unfortunately, there is no effective method for controlling second and third generation onion maggots. One possible solution to this problem is to kill the onion maggot flies before they lay eggs in the field. Okay. And perhaps use an attract and kill type strategy using insecticide baited devices. Now, the late Ron Procopi and a student of his at that time, Starker Wright, who's now the USDA ARS Kearneysville, West Virginia station, as a collaborator on this project, developed a really interesting system using spinosad baited spheres to control apple maggot in apple orchards. Okay, so let me tell you how this works. The apple maggot first visually orients itself to this apple mimic. Okay. Once it lands on that apple mimic, it's stimulated to feed on a sucrose and spinosad solution that's contained in this cap. Okay, and it's charged by rainfall. Okay, so it allows that solution to be active in the cap, and sometimes it'll drip down on the side. Then these apple maggot adults will feed on it and succumb eventually to the spinosad. So this idea inspired me to look at something similar for onion maggot control in onion fields. Now, for onion maggot, the first step to take was to determine the most attractive device in which to release this spinosad. All right, so we looked at three factors: color, size, and shape. Makes sense. And we found that neither size nor shape had any effect on attractiveness to the onion maggot, but color did. White was by far the most attractive color that we looked at. All right. So basically what that told us was that we could use any shape or size of device we wanted as long as it was white. We chose to go with a sphere between the size of a baseball and a softball. A couple reasons. One is it's kind of the prototype for the apple maggot project, so they were already being able to be manufactured. And the other reason was that no matter what angle the fly is going to be looking at this sphere, it's got the same surface area. Whereas that wouldn't be the case with this flat panel, you know, if it's looking at it from the side. Okay, so we decided to go with this. And then the cap here is where the spinosad and sucrose would be contained. All right, and it consists of a wax-type structure. Okay. So the main objectives of this project was first to determine the best concentration of spinosad to include in these spheres to control the onion maggot adults, and second of all, how long does this spinosad baited sphere work against onion maggots over the course of the field season. All right, the experiment in 2006 addressed both of those objectives, and we have two treatments, or two main effects I should say: duration of the spheres in the field between 1 to 4 months, that spans the entire onion growing season, and two rates of spinosad, 1.5%. And these are rates that worked really well against the apple maggot, so that's where we wanted to start. So then every combination, a factorial experiment, 12 treatments, every treatment is replicated 6 times. And each replication was laid along the edge of an onion field. Okay. It was really interesting that within minutes of putting these spheres out, flies were landing on them and feeding. I couldn't believe it. It's really, really something. Now, because spinosad doesn't have a fast knockdown time, we couldn't assess mortality in the field. So what we did was we took those spheres out of the field and put them in the lab and put them in cages and then released flies to determine how effective they were through time. Okay, so it's not really a field study. All right, and each of these cages, we had the sphere and then released 20 flies, and they had food and water available to them, so they didn't necessarily have to go to the sphere to feed on the sucrose. Okay, and then mortality was recorded after 3 days. There was no interaction between the duration that these spheres were out in the field and the concentration, but each of those main effects was significant, so I'm going to talk about each main effect. Starting with concentration, no difference in mortality when the flies were exposed to these spinosad-baited spheres that had a 0.5% or 1% spinosad rate. Okay, and mortality was around 60%. Now this is interesting. This is the effect of these spheres against the onion maggot through time. Two points I want to make. The first is that these spheres that were placed out in the field for 4 months were just as efficacious as those that were only out in the field for a month. That's fantastic, because that spans the entire onion growing season. You can pick off all three generations of onion maggot flies. Okay, so that's pretty exciting. There was a dip at the 2 month period, and we believe that that was due to a heavy rainfall event that occurred between those two sample dates. 5 inches of rain fell within a couple days or something like that. And I think what and Starker has seen the same type of dip in his apple maggot research, where you see that drop after a big rainfall event, but then it rebounds, just like what we saw in this system. This is what the spheres look like after they're in the field from 1 to 4 months. And remember, efficacy was similar for all of these, except for that the one at the 2 month. Okay, but they don't look the same, do they? And our concern is that although they may work, they may not be as attractive to the onion maggot. We want to have these spheres be white throughout the entire season. And you notice that they actually the wax actually melted. The melting point of this wax is 125 degrees Fahrenheit, so that tells you how hot it gets in these onion fields, and it also became discolored. So we made some changes to the trap design before this field season, and those changes were we went from 100% paraffin wax to a 50-50 blend of the paraffin and carnauba wax, and that did two things. One, should have retained the white color a little bit better, and two, it raised the melting point of the wax from 125 degrees Fahrenheit to 150 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay, and then also added a metal mesh guard, which Starker calls a rodent guard, I guess, because rodents will feed on this stuff. And that also helped to kind of keep the integrity of that wax cap together, so that we didn't have this type of situation. All right, so the treatment design in 07 was a little bit simpler. We only had the one rate of spinosad, the 0.5% per volume of that cap, and had those spheres again out in the field from 1 to 4 months, and assess mortality just like I showed you before in these cages. Didn't work. Very disappointing. The spheres had no effect on the flies. Why? This is what the spheres look like. Okay, so I think we improved a little bit on the color. Although maybe the spheres that were out there for 3 to 4 months were a little darker. A lot of the muck soil, I think, got in there. But we didn't think that that was the reason why they didn't work, because we knew that they didn't work at 1 to 2 months either, and those are pretty white. Western New York in 2007 was the driest on record. There's actually drought. I think we're under drought conditions. And New York, come on, where it rains every day. So we believe that essentially these spheres were deactivated, if you will, because it wasn't raining. So we wanted to test that hypothesis. We took these spheres, rinsed them real well with distilled water, scrubbed them a little bit, and reran that cage study. And also, because in the event that maybe the spinosad wasn't active or the sucrose in the cap wasn't active, we actually sprayed sucrose 10% solution on some of the spheres to again try to stimulate or ensure that the onion maggot flies would feed on the cap. Also, we took these things apart, took the cap off, and the underneath side of this cap was not exposed to sunlight and the muck soil and the grime and everything. So we think that maybe this part of the cap might be the most active. And then we had another cap that we sprayed with a sucrose, just like with a sphere. Okay, reran the experiment, and voila, look at this. It works. Works just fine. In fact, In the sphere treatment, the level of mortality, almost 60%, was identical to what we saw in 2006, where we had plenty of rainfall. Okay, so these things work, it's just that they need to be activated by periods of rain. And mortality was a little lower where we had sucrose applied to the sphere in the cap compared with where we didn't do that. And we believe basically the flies were feeding on that sucrose that was running along the side of the sphere, and rather than feeding on the sucrose that was in the cap that contained the spinosad. And that's why we didn't see as high efficacy. Okay. Oh, wow. All right, so in conclusion, you know, these spinosad beta spheres certainly have promise to supplement what growers are doing now using insecticide at planting, but the beauty of this is that they have potential to kill all three generations of the flies, the adults, of course. And I think that future field experiments or future experiments are needed with maybe a new version of the sphere. Maybe we can tweak it a little bit so that maybe they could be a little bit more efficacious when you have drier conditions. And certainly, ultimately, we need to put these in the field and see if we can see a reduction in damage. That's obviously the ultimate. And if anybody has a good idea of how to do that, please come and talk to me, because that's, I fear that it's going to be the Japanese beetle bag-a-bug type thing, where they all come from everybody's fields and they end up getting higher damage. So anyway, that needs to be done. Also, future research, I think that we need to make these spheres more attractive. One way could be to add attractants like Deli Allure. In fact, in 2005, I had an experiment where I included Deli Allure adjacent to a white sticky cards and found that caught twice as many flies because they were attracted to Deli Allure. And, you know, possibly these packets of Deli Allure could be placed in proximity to the spheres, or the active ingredient could be put into the sphere cap. So that's something that we're going to look at next year. I'd like to acknowledge my technician, Mary Lou Hesney, who conducted most of this work, and certainly couldn't have done it without support by the USDA Pest Management Alternatives Program and the New York State IPM Program. So if there are any questions, I'd like to hand. John.
So Brian, could you just go out like on a dry season and just go along and kind of spray water out of a backpack sprayer onto these things?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But my fear that growers aren't going to want to do that. Maybe I'm wrong.